and okie doke move and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get a rebound. Kicks it out. Katie Sykes for three. No, that's good. She got it. Katie Sykes for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Live from the campus of Illinois State University, this is the Red Zone. Good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us here at the basement of Fell Hall tonight. Anthony Ferretti, Scott Rosala with you for tonight's show. Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been, I'm going to be honest with you, it's been a very long week for me. I don't know about you guys, but it's been a struggle. I'm ready for the weekend.
Yeah, it has been a really long week, and even with some of this weather, like heading into last weekend, it was really nice warm weather, and then all of a sudden the snow just picked up, and I'm just like, wow, it's Christmas again. Like, now the weather's just teasing us a little bit.
We're in Chicago. Yeah. It's February. Everyone keeps complaining about that. I'm seeing all these Snapchats and stuff where it's like, oh my god, it's snowing again. It's like, guys, we live in Chicago. It's February. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, at least it's not like last year where it was like -30 below.
Yeah,
and they had to we've lucked out a classes, little bit. Yeah.
But we're joined in here by a very special guest, Kamisha Smith, field star. Kamisha, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
No problem.
How have you, how's your day been? How's your week been?
Pretty good, actually. It's really cold. so just staying bundled up and, you know, trying not to get stuck under the weather, that's all.
Yeah. You have a busy day with classes today?
Just two. So it was a light day for me.
Okay. What does your week kind of consist of?
Classes, practice, eat, sleep, repeat.
Can you kind of take us through a day of like your routine? Like, what time do you guys practice? What time is like, you know, your classes? Like, what do you do on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, I say I wake up around 8 a.m. Try to get me something to eat in the morning. 9 a.m. class, of course, and then throughout I have a pretty good break, so I'll try to get some studying in or do some homework. Eat another meal, of course, and then by the time that 2 o'clock, I have another class, and then 3, I practice at 3, and then right after practice, we have weights, so we have practice at 3, weights at 5, so I'll get done with my day around 6 o'clock, and then go home and still have enough time to eat dinner, and then still cook, and that's pretty much the daily routine that I go through every day.
That's a pretty hectic day. How often do you guys practice? Is it like every day or kind of like every other day? Like, what's kind of that schedule like?
Yeah, it's definitely every day. Like, we get no days off. Weekends, of course, but when we're in season, it's no weekends off either, so.
And I'm sure you're burning so many calories with all the running that you're doing, all the stuff that you're doing with training and things. Are you the kind of athlete that can eat whatever they want just to kind of get those carbs back in or the calories back, or do you keep to like a strict regimen diet?
I kind of do a little bit of both, because I'll eat whatever I want, but I try to stay away from the fried foods, the fat stuff. I try to stay away from it, but I kind of still eat whatever I want, no pop, things of that nature. But I kind of have it to where I eat wherever I want because of how thin the body type that I have. So
And with like high jumping and long jumping, with the high jumping, when you're taking that, it's high jumping when you're taking the stick and you're
yeah, like that rubber
over, right?
No, that's the pole vault.
That's the pole vault. And you do that, right?
No, I high jump. There's no pole involved in that.
Okay.
It's just literally body mechanics. So jumping over the pole backwards.
Did that when you first started doing that? What age were you when you started doing
that? I was about 14.
Okay. Were you nervous?
Definitely, because it was all so new, like throwing my body over backwards over a pole, like this end really badly. So
yeah,
it was really a transition of just like trusting the process.
I think even with like watching the Olympics and things like that, and just doing that, it's scary, especially when you're jumping, because you have to jump with your head kind of tilted backwards, right?
Yeah. I mean,
It's a totally different mechanic.
And you know what? Still to this day, I kind of struggle with that mechanic. I feel like once I get that part down packed, I'll be able to jump 6 feet with no problem.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the highest you've jumped?
5'10 and a half.
Wow.
Which is about my height. Just over 1 meter. I think you were saying you wanted to get like 1.75 or something to try and clear that to go to nationals.
No, to nationals I need like 1.81. So like if I jump like 1.81, then I'll be in for good. That'll pretty much just verify my spot.
And for all the listeners out there, can you kind of explain what the technique really is to do what you do?
So basically the technique, if I was to simplify it, just basically applying pressure on running a curve and then jumping as high as possible, and all of your body mechanics just, it kind of like when you plant, it happens naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people that all the time, that once you get used to and comfortable with just jumping high, everything else will just happen naturally. It's kind of like a natural body mechanic. You just got to trust it.
Okay.
Yeah, and when you were doing track and field when you were younger, what kind of made you want to pursue the high jump?
I was like, I'm so tall. I got to do something with my height. Like, my dad was like, basketball. Like, I don't like basketball. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try track. I tried it. At first, I was sprinting, and I was jumping and hurdling. And so I tried to narrow it down because I'm like, I got to find a love for something. And then I just fell in love with high jump. I was like, this is the one. Like, I feel like this is what's going to take me high.
And you talked about your dad. Do you have any, like, brothers or sisters as well?
Yeah, I do. I have a brother who's 24, and then I have a younger sister who's 18.
Okay.
And we're pretty close.
Do they have, like, kind of the athletic background that you have?
My brother, for sure. He is part of the reason why I wanted to pursue sports as well.
Really?
Because he went to college for basketball. And my sister, not so much. She was, like, more than one that's like, is watching TV and chips yeah. a sport, like, because that's the one that she really wanted. I'm like, girl.
And you said your brother was 18?
No, he's 24.
Did he go to college for any athletics or no?
Yeah, he went to Prairie State for basketball.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how much of an impact has your family made on your career and helping you make the decision to come to ISU?
They were a big factor in me coming to ISU because we loved ISU. Like, when we came, we visited, we went to SIUC, we went to Indiana State, we went to a couple of different schools, and when we came to Illinois State University, we were like, this is it.
Yeah.
And so they hopped on the bag wagon, and it didn't really take much more convincing for me because I loved the team already. I was happy with everything else. I was just like, this is the best move for me.
What has been kind of your favorite experience here at Illinois State?
My favorite experience would have to be going to nationals and achieving my second team All-American title. That was just overwhelming for me. Like, I was truly blessed in that moment. I couldn't ask for anything else.
And you mentioned you were in nationals, and the track and field team has had some success both indoor and outdoor these past couple seasons. So what has it been like trying to compete on a team at this level that has been consistently winning championships?
It's ecstatic. It's just, like, great athletes all over the team. So it makes it really hard for you to not be great with them. It kind of drags you along with them. Like, if you're on this team, you're destined to be great. So.
And you always talk about, like, all the hours you put in the track and field, whether it's indoor or outdoor. Have you ever battled any, like, serious injuries or anything?
No, I actually haven't. I have a few back pains and shin splints, but other than that, no real major injuries. A little bit of physical therapy and chiropractor every now and then, that'll get me just fine.
That kind of answered my next question. I was going to say, how do you kind of recover after an event?
Yep. So just icing and then making sure that I see my athletic trainer, Nick. He's amazing. So whenever I'm feeling any type of way, like, he'll get the job done. The athletic trainers here do a very good job.
Do you have, like, a favorite kind of brand shoe or something that you think kind of supports your foot the best? Because we've had a couple athletes on here, especially in track. Rachel Hickey has talked to us a lot about stuff that she's worn and that kind of gave her shin splints or things like that. Do you have a certain kind of brand that kind of helps you out the most?
I like Nike for sure. Okay. But just making sure that I have on like that shin sleeve. Mm-hmm. That, like, those by Nike are amazing.
See, does that help? Because yeah, I have shin splints. I battle with them all the time, and I just kind of run through them. Yeah. And then when they come out, I just take a break. But I've always looked for something that kind of really helped.
It does help. It's just one of those pains that you kind of got to live with. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's kind of hard to make it go away with just wearing a shin sleeve. The shin sleeve just helps solve the problem. It doesn't get to the bottom of the problem.
Just, kind of mask it a little
bit. Yeah, just mask it.
So, when you're not spending the majority of your time either practicing or competing in a meet, like going on the road or at home, what do you like to do in your free time to kind of recover when you have that free time to not, like, think about track and field?
I like to sew.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So on my downtime, like, especially when I'm feeling stressed or anything, I'll sew until I can't sew anymore. So you guys can be looking forward to seeing me in the fashion show this
okay.
year.
Okay. I was going to say, what are some of the things you like to sew?
Yeah. I'm definitely into clothes right now. So, like, just getting the main thing for me is extending pants right now. I've got really? So obsessed mm-hmm. with, like, making my pants long enough to reach my ankles. I'm like, this mm-hmm. is my thing right now. But other than that, like, I am actually preparing a clothing line.
I was going to say, style and clothing seems like it's a very strong passion to yours.
Yes, it is. Since I was little, too.
Is that something you could see maybe after your collegiate career or after your athletic career? Do you see like that's something that you want to go into?
Yes, it definitely is. After my collegiate career, that's the route that I'm taking. That's plan B if going to the Olympics doesn't.
I was going to bring that up because it's coming up. The 2020 Olympics are right around the corner.
What, this summer?
It's this summer in Tokyo.
It sure is.
And you obviously competing in your sport. What would be, are there anybody that you kind of look up to or that you're excited to kind of watch this year?
You know what?
Or do you just kind of take the events in as they come?
Yeah, I just kind of take the events in as they come because I look at myself as a competitor.
Really?
Even though I'm not there yet, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, well, all I have to do is jump 6'3" and then I'm there. So, like, to me in my head, I'm just like, I don't really want to focus on them too much because at the end of the day, it's really about me and just I'm competing with myself right now.
I like that, and you're not the first athlete that has said that either. Right. I know that's and that must be the mentality because
that's really interesting to say, like, you compete for yourself.
I like that. So, any last? I have one last question for you. For all the young athletes out there listening that want to know how do they get to where you are? What can they do? What are some tips that you have for them that they can kind of do now at a young age that you kind of wish you knew when you were, you know, 11, 12, 13?
One of the biggest tips that I would like to give the younger people is to stay focused because, honestly, like, there's so many distractions and there's so many other things that's going on outside of school and being focused on your sport. You could get distracted and then your life could change in a split second.
Yeah.
So, for them, I would just say just stay focused on the goal at hand. Like, set a goal and then work towards that goal. Like, don't just sit on your dreams. Actually go out and make it happen.
Thank you so much, Kamisha, for being on the show. And for Redbird Track and Field, their next meet is coming up this weekend. They are competing in the Mayo Invite in South Bend, Indiana. Not the first time you guys have been to Indiana, but also not the last time you guys are going to Notre Dame. They will compete on Friday and Saturday at 10 a.m. in the Mayo Invite. Once again, thanks again, Kamisha, for being on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
And Kamisha, you are on the radio show, so I'm going to ask you one quick question before we sign off.
Okay.
I didn't ask you this. I wanted to. A playlist. Before you compete, who is like your main, who are your main artists that you're listening to that get you pumped up before you, and kind of get you
ready to
go?
I gotta tell the truth.
Okay.
It's Cardi B.
Cardi B.
She gets me going, for real.
All right, I like that. Thank you again for being on our show, and we're going to come back. We have Joe Vargas. He's going to talk a little women's basketball with us right here on 103.3 WZND.
Hey, this is Dickie V, baby, and you're listening to The Red Zone, baby, only on 103.3 WZMT.
You heard the man. That is Dick Vitale. He's right. This is The Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND. We are joined back in the studio, but we are joined with Joe Vargas, who is our news and sports guest. We like to bring on a news and sports guest every week. Joe Vargas, thanks so much for coming on.
It's good to be here. Women's basketball. I've actually, this is like the it's been like about a full year since I like actually started getting really invested in basketball, because like before then I was more or less apathetic to it, and I was doing press for a game, and it had the most fantastic finish, and it got me incredibly excited, and I'm like, wow, okay, this is actually really cool.
Yeah, I bet, because like, last year the women's basketball team, they were pretty good, and they've been improving ever since head coach Kristen Gillespie kind of took over the reins here for this program. So she's definitely turned the program around, and as you mentioned, Joe, they've been just really exciting to watch.
Yes, Juju Redman, I believe, was the player that had like a like down to the wire, like a Hail Mary shot that just barely made it in. I wish I could tell you what game it was, but it was so close, and it got me really, really excited for the game. So,
yeah, no, Illinois State women's basketball, thank God they're doing pretty well, because our men's team has been struggling. They come into this season 13-7, but they're coming off a loss to Missouri State, 87-74. They're coming out, they face Bradley tomorrow, February 7th, and that's at home. And coming into this game, they have a lot of potential. They've shown all year that they can win games, but they've shown inconsistency, and that's kind of scaring me a little bit coming into like the later tournaments.
Yeah, I think they have a little bit. At the beginning, you know, they were kind of steady. They lost to Marquette, then they upset U of I, and then they were able to get on a win streak, and then they took Drake to overtime and lost, and the Missouri State they lost. But you can't blame them, because Missouri State's in the top 25
in the nation for women's basketball.
They're doing really good, even without head coach Kelly Harper, who went to her alma mater, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, they've been inconsistent, so trying to see if they can play more coherent as a team. And I think they're hungry for a victory, because they went to the Renaissance Coliseum over break to play Bradley, and Bradley was deemed victorious in that one.
And we're kind of taking a look at some of the players that shined. Again, Lexi Wallen has been playing great all year. She's coming off a 25-point game. Mary Crompton stepped up. She had 18 points, and T.T. Medjid had 13, kind of a career low for her, I'd say, or a season low. But the players that are coming out and stepping up and playing hard, and even Julian Redmond, she has 16 points. She's been having...
She was MVC's...
Newcomer of the Week.
Thank you.
Back to back.
Right.
I was going to get to that. She has been unstoppable as of late, and you like to see that. You like to see other players come out and kind of shine, especially around February, around March. So that's very good for the team. But you got to come in. We're playing Bradley at home. This is a conference rival. This is a school rival in any sport. And I don't know, there's a lot of things they have to do to get it done, but I think that Lexi Wallen, she's been dominant along the paint. I think as long as she can keep that up, she keeps up the defense. Kristen Gillespie has a very good system that she has going around, and I think that that's going to be key for the Birds to get a win tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, this is kind of sort of this is definitely a revenge match, because, you know, January they played a game at Bradley, and it wasn't a complete shutout. It was 61-76, but like they definitely could do better, and I know that they can do better, but you know, Bradley is also not playing around, so hopefully they can really get the momentum going, and I really do think they have a really good shot here.
I think so. They definitely have to be aware of some of the players that Bradley has. I believe it's Chelsea Brackman and Gabby Hawk have been two of the impact players for Bradley this season, I think, or one of them is on like the senior class finalists award list, so got to try and contain them down low. And we've been seeing Illinois State, they're not the most consistent of a three-point shooting team. They were playing Drake. They struggled three-pointers a little bit, and they didn't defend from three-point range as well, so kind of fixing up those kind of things. But I think the big thing for them is going to be trying to work the ball down low to Lexi Wong, as you mentioned, Scott, because she has just been lighting up this season, and get it to her and let her do the rest, because she has been physical inside and can draw a foul.
And Joe, you've talked about your passion has grown tremendously since you've been calling games.
Mm-hmm.
You just started calling games, was it this year or last year?
It was last year. I think it was definitely last year. I was just studio hosting mostly, and it was a ton of fun, but I'm like, okay, maybe it's time to step out of my comfort zone. And I signed up for a color game. You were there.
I was going to say, yeah.
I think it went disastrously, but I learned. Definitely got a lot of really helpful tips from you, so like that was really cool. It was just like a couple. I kept going to more games, and I just kept getting more and more invested. And like, I'm still not like following like like professional basketball, but like I'm still following ISU. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of a personal story, if that makes any sense.
Who, calling these games, who as a player on this team kind of stands out the most to you?
I think either TT Magid or Lexi Wallen, they've both been fantastic. And I know you mentioned that, TT Magid has been slipping a little bit, but I still think even on an off day, she's still really, really good at what she does.
Yes, absolutely. And we've seen it before in every sport. All good athletes, they have slumps. They have bad games, whether it's, you know, and 13 points isn't a bad game. I'm just saying it's relatively bad for her standards because she set the bar so
usually
high.
Usually goes like 19, 20 points,
Yeah.
Something like that.
No, but as a team, collectively, I think they've been playing very well around the ball, whether it's offensively or defensively, and that's just something that they need to do. We talked about, we had actually Kristen Gillespie on for our 5:30 news, talked about Title IX.
Right.
Yep. And give some cool things about that. It's just this team, what's cool about this team is they bring an impact to Redbird Arena that we haven't had in a while. It's not the men's sports, it's the women's sports. If you look at, you know, ISU volleyball, I mean, they all the success they've had. And now we take a look at, you know, ISU women's basketball. I mean, the women here, the women athletes have been, you know, definitely dominating the sports world the last couple of years. And it's really cool to see.
I would definitely say that. And even with the women winning the World Cup, too, I think that was pretty empowering for women in sports to see that. And then they also won the gold medal in the Olympics, I believe beating Canada in overtime. So just comes to show that, you know, women, you know, can make an impact in the sports era. And as you mentioned, it's interesting because in the past years, it's been the men's teams that have been proven to be successful. But now the tides have kind of turned a little bit and that women's basketball team's kind of taken that role.
Yeah.
And a main thing that shows is tweets. We've been getting tweets, you know, wanting people, the listeners that listen to Red Zone, they want to hear women athletes come on here. They want to hear more about them. And it's proven. I mean, we've talked about men's basketball. They're definitely the sport that, you know, ISU fans and supporters want to see.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with a down year for them and an up year for our women's sports here, again, like I said, it's been awesome to see, and it's really kind of changing a lot of people's perspective on women's sports.
Mm-hmm. And, like, that's not – I don't think that should be taken as, like, a knock towards, like, our men's basketball team, because I still think that I've had – an absolute fantastic time watching them as well.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me, the Northern Iowa game was, that was on the 26th of January.
Yeah.
And, that was also we found out like 10 minutes before we went on that, Kobe Bryant had passed away. So that certainly hanged over that game.
Yeah, we were on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When news first broke out. Yep.
We were on that call, but wrapping things up a little bit, women's basketball team, they return to the court, as we mentioned, tomorrow night for Pack the Arena night. They will host the Bradley Braves. Z&D will have a live broadcast of the game beginning at 6:50. We are going to take a break. You're listening to the Red Zone here on the Pulse of Redbird Nation, 103.3 WZND. We do have to welcome one other person in on the show. Joey Dwyer is not with us tonight because he got the flu bug that's been going around campus, so he said he's not leaving his apartment whatsoever. So in his place tonight, we got Mitch Gouds from ZND to fill in. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys? How you doing today? Feeling real good, man. Big day in sports.
Especially
for the NBA.
Yeah, Mitch, we've been talking about it before we got on the show. I know you're a big baseball guy, right?
Huge. Definitely my number one sport, but I like all sports for sure.
So you're on point with basketball?
Oh, absolutely.
I know you have a lot. I know you have a lot you want to talk about. There's been a lot. There's been a big splash.
Huge day, man.
Today. So can you kind of get us started? Just tell us what's going on.
All right, well, there was a huge mega deal the other day regarding Clint Capela going to the Atlanta Hawks. It involved 12 players and 4 different teams. So, Clint Capela's going to the Atlanta Hawks. Robert Covington will be going to the Houston Rockets, and 10 different other players will be mix and matched.
My goodness, that is a complicated trade. 4 teams trying to go all these players. Usually it's just a 2-team trade, like here, you get these 2 players on a draft pick, we get this player on a draft pick, boom, done.
That's how it all started. That was like getting the ball rolling for everything going on. So then we got today a lot of stuff happening. We got Andre Iguodala finally got out of Memphis. All of the problems going on there, John Morant arguing with him, you know, pretty much kicking him out to the curb. He will be going to the Miami Heat, and he also signed a 2-year, $30 million extension. So he will be in Miami for at least 2 years there. Jay Crowder also follows him to the Miami Heat, as well as Solomon Hill. Deion Waiters, Justice Winslow, and James Johnson will be going to the Grizzlies. We also have Andre Drummond to the Cavaliers. That was a big... I didn't understand that one at all. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I didn't know why the Pistons were trying to get rid of him, and I don't even know why the Cavaliers are trying to acquire him. The Cavaliers are a bottom feeder in the East. The Pistons are on the infringement of almost being in a playoff team. They could use somebody like that. If they were going to move somebody, I thought it'd be Derrick Rose.
That's one thing that I'm actually really fired up about. And excuse me if I'm wrong here, but the trade deadline ended at 5 o'clock.
Yes,
right?
It's
6
today.
O'clock Eastern, yep. 5 o'clock. Okay, so it just ended today, which means that Derrick Rose has no movement. He's going nowhere.
No, he's staying.
And the thing is that drives me nuts. I know you guys, I don't know, with him being from Chicago and playing for the Bulls, I'm always going to be at heart, especially when that documentary came out. I'm always going to be a big Derrick Rose fan at heart. I really wanted to see him, with the year that he's having, I really wanted to see him compete on a playoff-caliber team.
Absolutely, because I heard he was maybe going to the Lakers.
I heard
that's what they were going to after him.
But I don't think he could have played well with LeBron.
We saw that happen in
Cleveland. He just did not perform. Derrick Rose, I think, would have performed a lot better. I wish he would have went to Miami.
Oh, I would have loved to see that, man.
That's a team.
And mentoring Tyler Hero. Oh, my God, that could
and
have been
Jimmy
nice.
Jimmy Butler's on that.
Yeah,
it would be a little reunion with Jimmy Butler.
Wow. Yeah. And then the biggest one, the biggest one is probably the Capella deal, but a big one today, star point guard D'Angelo Russell is leaving the Warriors, and he got traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Andrew Wiggins will be going to the Warriors.
That's another big one, too. Yeah. The Warriors, first of all, in the beginning of the year when the Warriors signed D'Angelo Russell, that didn't make no sense to me.
Yeah, me either.
It didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it was weird.
Because they have, you know, Steph Curry. I mean, they don't need another point guard.
So their backcourt is full.
It's full.
Clay was hurt, but still, man, like, he's going to be back.
I think it was a down year for the Warriors anyway. They tried to make a splash.
They are an absolute bottom feeder right now. They're the worst team in the NBA.
It's sad, but you expected that, which is why I don't know why they made any movements whatsoever. But now they traded him. They got Andrew Wiggins. I don't know how I feel about that, because Andrew Wiggins, to be honest, even when he was at Kansas,
I
never thought he was really amounting to anything. I know his NBA career hasn't been like spectacular, but it's not horrible. I can name a lot of other players that were bust out of the draft. But, I mean, D'Angelo Russell, he started in L.A., then he went to Golden State. He was on Brooklyn, went to Golden State. Now he's going to be in Minnesota.
He's with his buddy, Karl Anthony Towns, which is all fun and games. Like, oh, these boys are coming together. Yeah. But let's start winning some games, no?
That's what it is. I don't see the reason behind it. But you know what? If Joey Dwyer were here... This is something that I always bite my tongue when I got to give Joey Dwyer props, just because I just can't. Yep. It's so hard to do, and I know he's probably listening right now. The Miami Heat are 34-16.
Yeah.
And they've made some big splashes with being that good. Did you think that they expected to be that good and compete at the level that they're competing? Because they really didn't make, besides Jimmy Butler. I mean, what is it saying about Jimmy Butler?
It is all about the progress of Bam Adebayo, 100%. Mm-hmm. He's a first-time All-Star this year. And with help from Tyler Hero and a lot of their young guys, it was definitely not a team that I had on my radar coming into the year.
Yeah, definitely me neither. It was just like one of those mediocre teams. I was thinking, and they still are performing well, the Milwaukee Bucks, to try and stay at the top, which they are, because I think they can make a run the way they've been playing. They fell just short last year. But definitely with the Miami Heat, you think they were that subpar team that might have dropped a little bit. Yeah, definitely didn't think they'd be where they are now just a couple games before the All-Star game.
And the Miami Heat, they're sitting in fourth place right now in the Eastern Conference, just one game back from the Celtics. I think with the players that they just added, I think they're going to make a push. If you look at both teams, both conferences, I think there's about six teams that are worth a playoff berth in the East, ending with the 76ers. They currently sit 31-20. And you kind of take a look over at the Western Conference, the Mavericks are 31-20. They're in seventh, and the Grizzlies are 26-25. They're in eighth place. So obviously the Western Conference is a lot better, a lot stronger. But really what we've seen in the past, like I'd say 6-7 years, you saw two dominant teams that you thought one of them was going to win the championship.
Yep.
And now we're seeing an NBA league that has like 6-7 teams in both divisions. And that's something that's just exciting for NBA fans or just basketball fans in general.
Another one that I forgot to mention was the Clippers also landed Marcus Morris, and part of a 3-year deal. Coming from the Knicks and the Washington Wizards
as well.
Isaiah Thomas from the Washington Wizards. Him and Marcus Morris will be going to the LA Clippers, so they got a little bit better as well.
Let me ask you this question then. Do you think the Clippers just became the best team in LA?
I don't know if that's what took it to like took it to do it, but I
think
I've
it was
thought,
before.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Really?
The way Kawhi Leonard showed me how the game of basketball is supposed to be played last year, it was amazing to watch that go down. Even though Kevin Durant got hurt and you know all that type of stuff, but I'm telling you right now, Kevin Durant is fully healthy. I still think that the Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard win that series.
No. And the reason why I disagree is because the best player to ever dribble a basketball is on the LA Lakers, and that's LeBron James.
Oh.
And is he not? Are we going to have this debate right now? Because it's not even a debate. He is by far the best basketball player to play the game.
Athlete, yeah. Basketball player?
Who are you going to say?
Michael Jordan.
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
I mean,
no.
This is like, oh, man, we're in Illinois, man.
And that's what it is. Like, I love Chicago, and I love the Bulls.
I am a little biased. I'll admit that.
100%. You know what? How can you say a player is better? And we've all seen highlights. That's fine. But a highlight tape is just that. It's
true.
Highlights. We've never seen Michael Jordan. We have to just take everybody's word for it. We've seen LeBron James. We saw Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was obviously a little bit before.
Oh, I've seen LeBron James lose in the finals three or four times.
We've seen the teams that he's had. We've seen the teams that Jordan's had. And we've seen the teams that LeBron has played. LeBron has played against way better teams than Jordan played in the finals.
The 73-9 Warriors that he beat. That I will never take that away from LeBron. That's one of the greatest athletic like things ever of all time. That was insane.
Yeah, they were trying to beat the Bulls for the best regular league,
they
did, but they didn't.
They didn't win the title.
Yeah, they didn't get the icing on the cake for that.
73-9 don't mean a thing without a ring.
Exactly.
How do you guys feel with the Clippers? Or with the Clippers, excuse me. Isaiah Thomas, he's obviously gonna be coming off the bench because they have Patrick Beverley.
Mm-hmm.
He is to have a guy like Isaiah Thomas come off the bench. We've seen how much success he's had in the NBA.
I forgot that he was even still playing.
It's true,
yeah.
But he's not a starter.
No,
many
not,
teams
not
have
anymore.
Tried
no, no, no.
When he was on the Celtics. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I wish I really liked Vintage IT. Like I really, even though
he was by far a stud. But the thing is that I see with him is because he's had so many injuries and so many setbacks, it reminds me a little bit of a Derrick Rose situation where it kind of, like I said, a setback. It set him back. He obviously isn't as polished as he is, but coming off the bench as a six man, I can see him with kind of a bounce back year.
He'll definitely help.
Push. He's going
to help for sure.
Him and
Marcus Morris, man. I mean, that's some good pieces on the bench that you need because Marcus Morris isn't going to start either. But I mean, he was a starter for the Knicks. He was a starter for the Celtics. I mean, he's a good player. Like his brother kind of sucks, Marquis.
Yeah.
He's still not in the league anymore, I don't think. But yeah, man, there's some good pieces for sure. It's a crazy day in the NBA.
It's with the Chicago Bulls, they sat pretty stagnant at the trade deadline. Didn't really make any big moves, and they are one of the worst teams in the league.
Are you surprised though?
Their front office
it's the Bulls,
is a joke. We can talk about that for 4 hours straight.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
for days.
John
but you know what?
I
want to give them the benefit of the doubt. And the reason I think they didn't make a splash in the free agency pool is because maybe they're trying to tank like they have been for the last 4 years, but we keep getting joked out of a pick.
The seventh pick.
And the lottery pick has just not been helping us.
Every
but
time.
When you look at it, if we can get a top three pick, and I'm going to change gears a little bit. We'll still talk about the NBA, but this is something that's been on my mind because it's been all over kind of social media. LaMelo Ball.
Oh, my God.
We know the Ball era.
Boy. Dude,
Lonzo.
Big baller
just,
brand.
And his and their dad, LeVar.
Yep.
You always got to give him tribute. LeVar has called it before, like,
he did.
Before any of this happened, he said Lonzo was going to make the NBA first. He didn't really say anything about LiAngelo, his middle son.
He kept saying, he's like Jello can ball, though.
Yeah, that's all he said. He said he could ball.
From China.
I don't know what was going on there. And then you look over at LaMelo, and he said LaMelo was going to be the best of the three. LaMelo, I think because of his dad, we don't see him right now in college. That's why he's not maybe as known. But this guy doesn't need any recognition. Look at him. Look at his Instagram followers. Look at how much clout this kid gets. And he's selling shoes when he was 16 years old. So do you think he is classified as a top five pick even without going to Division I college and showcasing what he can do at the collegiate level?
100%.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've seen some people that have played like in the EuroLeague be some top five picks, top five picks. We had Kristaps Porzingis, Luka Doncic.
I mean, look how that turned out. I mean, dude, I'm telling you right now, LaMelo Ball is a lock.
They weren't American-born players, though.
That's very true. Yeah, that's true. The situation is different.
Yeah.
They played in, you know, professionally over like where they were playing, but he's, dude, he is a lock. That kid can play basketball. And, it so helps that his older brothers, I mean, like, that's just usually how it works. Younger brothers, LaMelo Ball is an absolute lock. He might go number one. So.
Yes. So that will just about wrap it up. But the one Twitter question we want to try and get in is, do you think the Bulls should have made a big trade before the trade deadline? We're going to post that soon, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be the 3-up, 3-down here on the Pulse of Redbird Nation, 103.3 WZND.
This is Barstool Big Cat, and you're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Barstool Big Cat, gotta love that guy. Welcome back to the Red Zone here on the Pulse of Redbird Nation, 103.3 at WZND. We talked some NBA trade deadline before the break, but now let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk the MLB trade, the trades that have been going on. It's not the deadline, but the offseason, it's kind of been hectic. Yeah,
it's been the hot stove, dude. The White Sox if you're a White Sox fan, it's time.
And this is something that I couldn't wait to talk about because Mitch walks around this station almost every day wearing his White Sox hat, and I always give him a little something for it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a diehard Cubs fan. There's a lot of diehard Cubs fans here.
A lot of people are.
Yeah. I'd say you, Joey, Isaac, and maybe a couple other people around here are Sox fans. So there's not a lot of you.
Yeah.
And Ryan Lusk. Shout out Ryan Lusk.
Yeah.
You guys were the four Sox fans that stuck out to me. Can you kind of break down, because they've had a lot of movement going around, can you break down what they've done?
They've almost completely overhauled their entire roster. I mean, they have a large core.
And it's about time.
It's been a long time coming. It's been like almost two decades coming. All right, so they upgraded that catcher, signing Yasmani Grandal. They signed Jose Abreu to a two-year deal at first base. They're about to bring up their star prospect Nick Madrigal at second. Tim Anderson, the batting champion, is returning at shortstop. Yoan Moncada had a great turnaround season as well. He will be at third, keeping Eloy, bringing up their star prospect Luis Robert to play center, and they traded for Nomar Mazara as well. They got pieces like Carlos Rodon and Michael Kopech coming back. They signed Dallas Keuchel to a three-year deal. Lucas Giolito had close to a Cy Young year last year. It's not the same team. It's completely different than what it was. This is the first time since probably 06, the year after the World Series, that there has been genuine optimism about the White Sox team that is coming out. So,
you know what scares me a little bit?
What's that?
There's a rumor going around. Mitch brought it up here.
It is, yeah.
Nolan Arenado to the White Sox. And that scares me because Chris Bryant, there was a lot of talk with the Cubs on the north side, the good guys, that he would be on because the grievance ended, so we have him locked up till I believe 2021.
Oh, yeah.
But that's still, he still has to be dealt. He doesn't want to be here. He wants to get paid all this money. We can't afford him and all the players that we have. Obviously, Javier Baez, I think, if you have to pick between those two, I'm sure it probably goes maybe 60-40 in the fan range of who they want to keep, but you got to keep Javier Baez. So if Nolan Arenado goes to the White Sox, that scares me. But a thing just popped up that Chris Bryant has been kind of hanging around doing some training with top Phillies products.
No way.
And we know how close Chris Bryant is
with Bryce Harper.
With Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That'd be crazy.
What was it, Nevada?
Yeah.
Right, both of them?
So that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense, but who on the Phillies are the Cubs going to get?
Prospects, maybe. I'm not really sure about how their farm system even is.
But the Cubs aren't rebuilding.
Exactly. No, that's why you got to have someone who's going to win now. So
exactly. This is their year, because we're going to start losing a lot of guys. So they can either start rebuilding or they can just be a mediocre team. I don't know.
They need to keep Chris Bryant. That's I mean, in my opinion.
But do you want to keep a guy that's angry with your organization, that wants to get paid, that tried to get a grievance, didn't get it settled, it favored in the MLB, in the Cubs, you know, favor? Do you want to have a guy that might not fully be there? And are you going to win a World Series with a guy that's not fully there?
I totally get that. That question's very valid. But at the same time, sometimes it's a business, man. It doesn't matter. Like, you signed for 2 years. If you don't want to play baseball, you can quit, and we won't pay you. But I'm sorry, you lost a grievance. Like, you won a World Series with us, you won an MVP, you won a Rookie of the Year. It's not like you haven't, like, they've, it's not like they haven't done nothing. It's not like you haven't accomplished anything, the fans haven't done anything for you, whatever. Yeah, you have some disagreements with the front office, but it's time to play ball, man. If you're here, you're here. It's time to go.
And it's sad. It is sad, because I knew the day was going to come that the Sox were going to make a splash and the Cubs weren't going to do anything, and the Cubs have just done that. They have done nothing. And the sad thing is, with being a Cubs fan, and you try to stay away from biasness, especially when you're in the media world, but their bullpen is horrendous. And I know they brought in guys that they tried to, you know, strengthen it up, but it is still horrendous, and it's still going to be horrendous going in this year. They're, I don't know if they're trying to mold certain guys that they have and see what they can get with them, but they don't have much. So, like, yeah, we have power. We have things that we have. But so maybe Chris Bryant gets dealt for a pitcher. Maybe he gets dealt for...
That'd be very surprising, I'd think.
It would be surprising, but we do have David Bodie, and David Bodie is not by any means a Chris Bryant, David Bodie can play
the
field.
He's a serviceable player, for sure.
He is a serviceable player, but he hits in the clutch, and he can play the field. And
what more do you want from a third baseman, right?
100%. Yeah. There you go. So do you need a star third baseman when you have a star first baseman? You have a star second baseman? You have, you know, a star shortstop? You have a pretty solid outfield? You have one of the best catchers in the league? You got a pretty solid starting pitching rotation.
Your core is there. It's so easy to work with.
But there's missing pieces. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed that has not been addressed.
Yu Darvish's season will be very telling about how the Cubs do this year, I think. I think he's a very big piece, because especially for the money that they gave him, I really think that, and Craig Kimbrell as well. He had a rough little go at it last year, but I think he comes back strong.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know what they called that. All the things that I read, it was like they were doing stats of pitchers that did not have a spring training and came in, whether it's halfway through the year or however many months it is through the year, and their stats were down tremendously. So
I forgot he didn't play.
He didn't play. So that's one thing I'm not going to hold against him, because he's still a stud, and I believe he's only like 31.
Oh, he's young. Like 31, younger, 30. At least. He's not old by any means.
He's a veteran, but he's not, you know, he's not getting up there in age.
Yeah, he's 31.
He's 31. So I'm not worried about him. I know his velocity, people say, has been on the decline by what, like 1 mile per hour?
Yeah, it's
like,
not much.
Okay. So that's not something I'm too worried about. I think he's going to come back, and I think he's going to be a stud. But there's just more than just one guy in that bullpen that you need. And I don't know, just it's scary.
Yeah, that's what I think. You really need depth in your rotation. I mean, a starting pitcher and a closer, they can only get you so far. But in the end, you know, you got to be able to win baseball games, and that depth is really what's going to get you there.
And not only is stuff going down in Chicago, man, how about Mookie Betts and David Price going to the Dodgers?
That's
a blockbuster if there's ever one. They traded. That is one of.
And then Jock Peterson, he gets dealt to the Angels.
Mookie Betts being traded is asinine to me. It doesn't make any sense.
I never thought it was going to happen. Why do you think that happened? Do you think that there was problems in the locker room? Because Boston has not been.
No, it's all about money. They do, like, that's so? They're trying to.
I feel baseball, but baseball gets around that.
Yeah,
I feel. There's a salary cap, but it's not a hard salary cap.
I mean, I feel like it might be something with the Dodgers trying to win a World Series, because they've been.
Give up that much. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, you think the Red Sox would budge at least a little bit? Mookie Betts is an MVP, a World Series champion. He's one of the best players in baseball.
Yeah, I'm shocked they got rid of him, because he was one of their core guys.
To the Dodgers, dude. Yeah. I mean, you could. Just hang the Dodgers banner. I mean, look, have you seen their lineup?
You know what? You can make the Dodgers as good as you want. They've had such good rosters, and they still can't get it done. They still can't get it done. So I don't care what you say about the Dodgers. They can stack their roster as good as you want, and they have not done it. So I'm not worried about the Dodgers. I'm more worried about I'm more worried about the White Sox.
they're coming up.
It'll be a fun year for sure.
I think so. That will just about wrap up our trade deadline coverage. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, it'll be the 3-up, 3-down. Keep it here. You're listening to the Red Zone.
Going up, coming down.
It's the 3-up, 3-down.
3-up, 3-down.
Only on the Pulse of Redbird Nation. 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. It is our favorite segment, probably the best segment in sports talk radio, the 3-up, 3-down. This is exciting. It was a good week.
I like this one.
It's a very good week. And I just want you guys to know, I just want everybody to know out there, all the listeners, that I have been picking teams from the heart with about like 10% winning rating, and I'm 9-9. So
that is pretty good. You're 500.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, you had a really good week last week. You went 5-1. The only game you didn't get right was when you picked Gonzaga to get upset. But other than that you had a really good week.
That was a tough one.
So taking a look at the standings, the guests is rounded out at the bottom. They had a better week. They are 7-11. Then Scott, 9-9. Joey's in third, 10-8. And then Steve and I up top, 12-6. So the way this works, for those that may be listening to the show for the first time, we pick 6 men's college basketball games. 3 of them have to be favorites, 3 of them have to be underdogs, at least 1 Missouri Valley Conference game, and only 1 of your favorites can be over 80. So without further ado, let's get things started. My first pick, it is my over 80 pick. It is San Diego State over Air Force. SDSU hasn't lost, got a 90.4% chance to win.
And since you're doing your over 80 pick, I think I'll do that as well. I have Houston over Tulane. That is at 95.4%.
Stick with it. I'm going to go over 80. I got Kansas over TCU with an 85%. That game is on Saturday. Kansas is ranked number 3. I think they take that one.
First up for Steve Cease, he is taking VCU over Davidson. Some of the mention, Mitch is picking for Joey Dwyer this week. Moving to the second game, I'm taking Baylor over Texas with my second up pick.
My second up pick is going to be Villanova over Seton Hall. That game is at 63.7%.
I will take Illinois over Maryland. Illinois is actually the favorite team, even though they are ranked less than Maryland. They have a 57% chance to win. That game is on Friday.
Second up pick for Steve Cease. He has got Penn State over Minnesota, 77% for Penn State. My final up game, it's my Missouri Valley game. Southern Illinois Salukis over the Missouri State Bears, 62.1%.
Taking a look at my final game. Actually, you know what? I'm going to give you a down game.
Ooh.
This is another one from
the heart.
At 10.8%, that is
going to
be USC over Arizona.
Wow, that's a big pick. Yeah,
that's a big
I was looking at that game, like, could USC be able to do it? Who knows?
I'm going to go with my last favorite one here. I got Michigan State over Michigan. I think that one's a pretty easy lock. Michigan is a 62.8% favorite.
Last pick for Steve. It is his over 80 pick, 95.5% to be exact. It is the UNI Panthers over the ISU Redbirds. Now moving to our down picks. My first down pick, I have Maryland actually over Illinois in that game, tipping off on Friday at 43.2%.
We're going to have to go over, like I said, we're going to have to go over the rules because this is an up pick for me. It's not a very big up pick.
Oh boy.
You gave it a down pick. I'm giving it an up pick. I have Maryland over U of I, but I'm going to change that and I'm going to give an up pick. I had that as a down pick. I'm going to give U of I over Maryland. So that's going to be my last and final up pick. That is at 57%.
Okay. All right.
My first underdog is Illinois State over Indiana State. This is my MVC pick. It'll be this Saturday. Illinois State is at 31.2%. Hey, man. I think they could do it, though.
Yeah,
we'll see. They're not having a great year, but I'm going with the Redbirds. I'm calling it.
Yeah. They've lost 9 out of their last 10 games. For those that are interested in that stat, whatever. First down pick for Steve, he's taking Southern Utah over Northern Colorado, 52.2%, so that's a 50-50 game.
I'm going to have to take my down pick, UVA over Louisville, that's at 15.2%.
I am going to take, for an underdog, LSU over Auburn. Anthony, we share this one. I'm with you on this.
We do?
I'm with you on this. I think LSU is going to take over Auburn, and they're at a 31.4% this Saturday.
Yeah, I am also taking LSU over Auburn. They were at 32.7 when I picked them, but still an underdog.
So it went down a little bit.
Yeah. Second down pick for Steve. He's taking Louisiana Tech over Western Kentucky. And my final down pick, we're going to the SEC. It is Kentucky over Tennessee. Kentucky, amazing, honestly enough, is an underdog.
I don't know. That's
46.8%.
That's wild. That's the first time in a long time. I'm going to give you guys my last down pick. It's also my Missouri Valley Conference pick. It's Drake over Northern Iowa at 11%.
That's low.
Northern Iowa's at like 20-3 on the season. Drake, not doing too bad, though. They're like 16-8, 16-7. So 11%, you think that's a pretty low pick, but
yeah,
I'm taking them.
I thought my last one was pretty low. I'm taking DePaul over Georgetown this Saturday. Got to stick with the Blue Demons. I love DePaul, everything about DePaul, and I'm going to have to pick them at 24.8%.
Yeah, DePaul has been having a good season.
Yeah.
My mom actually went to DePaul, so shout out my mom for going there. Last down pick for Steve, he's also taking Kentucky over Tennessee, so got to love that pick as well. Well, that will just about wrap it up here for this week's edition of the Red Zone. We had another great show, fellas. I think went pretty well. We had Kamisha Smith on talk. It's a Redbird track and field. Got the MLB and NBA trades, how they were working out. We had Joe Vargas in studio with us talking to Redbird women's basketball, how they have been stepping up. We did the three up, three down thing, the best segment probably in sports talk radio. Gotta love that one. Don't forget to go on at WZND Sports on Twitter and vote in our Twitter poll is if you think the Bulls should have made the trade, should have made a trade before the deadline. And if you missed any part of this podcast, you can go to WZND.com shortly. That podcast will be up for you guys to listen. You can hear what Kamisha Smith had to say. That is all for us. On behalf of Mitch and Scott, I'm Anthony Ferretti. You have been listening to The Red Zone here on the Pulse of Redbird Nation.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND,
the Pulse of Redbird Nation.